Acts chapter 8, verses 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. So here we have an angel of the Lord. When an angel of the Lord shows up, we know something amazing is going to happen. A miracle is about to happen. And this angel has gone to Philip. Philip the evangelist, he was a disciple. He's seen Jesus. He's eaten meals with him. He has watched him die, be buried, raise, and ascend into heaven. So this is a great guy to send a message to via an angel. And he's been told to go down this road, a desert place, just a dry, hot place. Okay, just think Fort Worth in the summertime. And he rose and went. Scriptures say that he obeyed. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what he's doing. The angel just said, start walking down the road. So he does it. And this is what he's going to find. Verse 27 continues. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And so we have Philip seeing an Ethiopian. Not a Jew, not one of God's people, somebody outside of that. So this story is impacting a group of people that are outside God's family, which we need to identify with that. We are that. We were outside and God brings us in, just like he's about to do with this eunuch. And you've got to be wondering, what's a eunuch? Well, let me tell you, this guy answered a job posting that said, company provided chariot. Speaking in at the executive level of the organization, working with one of Forbes' most powerful women, Candace. That's sort of like Pharaoh or Caesar for the Ethiopians. And with all of that, you get to be in charge of treasure. That's like the single greatest job description line item I've ever seen. I kind of have that as the executive pastor here. I just get to be in charge of treasure. I love it. Well, this guy does too. And yet, though, it says below the job posting, the requirements must be born or made a eunuch. And so this guy's probably thinking, well, I wasn't born a eunuch, so how are they going to make me one? Well, maybe they'll just explain that at the job interview. Well, here's what they do to make a eunuch, and it's horrible. They would take a young man. I was talking to my son Hudson about this the other day. They would take a young man, and they would say, we want you to be an important place in our government. And we want to give you all of these trappings of just the responsibility, and we're just going to castrate you. That's the uniform. It's actually just a shift of identity. We're going to castrate you. So they have taken his manhood, and he's now a eunuch. Okay, let's see how the story goes. Verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And verse 30 has a beautiful word, so. The Spirit is involved. Before it was an angel, now it is the Holy Spirit. It is God who comes, and he's going to enliven the spirit of this eunuch and change him and save him, like he does with every single Christian. Every single one of us in this room that loves Jesus, that knows Jesus, has been touched by the Holy Spirit, has been enlivened by the Holy Spirit, and this is going to happen. God is on the scene. And what we see with Philip is that he obeys. So often in Scripture, we see the word but. It's but the Israelites, and then they go and do something awful. And but King David, and he goes and does something awful. And here we have so. So Philip, he's obeying. Right? He didn't say, but Lord, I'm not gonna go over to him. I mean, he's rich, I'm poor. But Lord, I'm gonna go talk to him. He's reading. He's so busy. I don't wanna bother him. But Lord, he's a stranger. You just want me to go talk to some rando? Like, that's not what I want to do. Come on, Lord. Hey, Lord, did I mention he's a stranger? I haven't had an opportunity yet to kind of just be a Christian around him, you know, just so he can kind of osmosis, pick up what I'm trying to lay out there. And Lord, I haven't been able to just take a minute and, you know, preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't put any of those lies or objections or just anything. He obeys. And let's see what happens. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading. And what was he reading? He's reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you are reading? I love this exchange. The eunuch says, how can I? unless someone guides me? How am I supposed to understand what this book is talking about unless somebody talks to me? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep that was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Before we look at that scripture a little bit closer, this is a special thing. Oftentimes as Christians, we think that everyone is opposed to the gospel. We think that if you are not a Christian, you hate Jesus and all of his people. And that's not true. There are many people just like this eunuch that are reading the word, they don't understand it, they want to know more, they're not in a community, they want to get connected, and they just need a Christian to be bold and to obey the Holy Spirit and go and be that messenger and say, this is who God is. This is who Jesus is. This is what he's done for you. So for those of you that are Christians in the room, don't use the kind of normal obstacles that we have to share with people, and don't assume that they will fight you. The eunuch invites him into his chariot. Hey, get in my car. Talk to me about this. I've got the audiobook going. Tell me what this means. There's no greater invitation. It's kind of low-hanging fruit for Philip the evangelist, right? This is what every evangelist wishes. I could just walk around and find somebody that just wants to be a Christian. Okay, so let me tell you now what this section of scripture is. He's reading from Isaiah, about 52 to 53. I would imagine Philip gets in the chariot and starts to walk him through a Bible study that highlights that 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet prophesies that Jesus is going to be servant and king. A servant that would astound people, that the mouths of kings would shut in his presence. But he's going to come from a humble beginning. He's not going to come with the trappings of royalty. He's going to come as a root out of dry ground, a desert place, like Fort Worth in the summer. No special form or majesty. He's not going to come to defeat earthly kingdoms. He's going to come to destroy the kingdom of darkness and the reign of sin in the lives of man. How? By taking our griefs, our sorrows. Think the sins and evil done against us. He's going to be beaten and ruined beyond human likeness. We are not, if we had seen Jesus after they got their hands on him, we would not recognize him as of our species, scripture says. He was pierced, he was crushed, he was wounded, he was chastised for us. He was innocent, we are guilty, and he died for us. And these sins, think sins and evil done by us, thought, word, deed, those committed, those omitted, things that you should have done that you didn't do. Those, all of that put on him, laid on Jesus' shoulders. Why? Why did he do that? To bring us peace, to right the wrongs, to save. He did all of that to save. He's going to be murdered. He's going to be baptized into the grave in his burial. He's going to rise from death, and he's going to sit, and now he sits alive in heaven on his throne, King of kings and Lord of lords. Isaiah 53:1 asks a question that demands an answer, and it's a question that we're asking today. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? There is a call here for everyone to see and believe. And the suffering servant doesn't want to keep his sacrifice quiet. He doesn't want to just go into oblivion and be forgotten. He wants people to answer this question. So let's see how the eunuch, somebody outside God's people, responds to a Bible study from a complete stranger. Verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? His answer is, I see and I believe, and I, what's, right now, Philip, tell me. Tell me right now, I dare you, what's to keep me from getting baptized? What's to keep me from getting out of this chariot, going down into that water, and showing that I am baptized in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What? That is a wonderful response. That's a response that we want from some of you. As the Holy Spirit has been moving in the room, some of you don't know Jesus, and he wants to open your eyes and open your heart to that. And so the right response isn't to just keep sitting on it. The right response is, well, you wouldn't happen to have a tank of water out in the parking lot, would you? Well, yes, we do. You wouldn't happen to have any t-shirts and shorts for us, would you? Yes, and a towel. It's all out there. So I would love for you, it's just, if you already know, this is me. I know I'm supposed to be baptized today. I didn't register for the class. I didn't expect to do this, but I know that Jesus has saved me today or yesterday or 10 years now, and I need to be baptized because I haven't been yet. Then you can just get up. Nobody will be bothered by that. They'll think it's awesome. And everyone who gets up to go to the bathroom at this point, everyone thinks you're going to get baptized. So just chill. It's going to be awesome. Head out to the McDavid studio. There is baptism counselors out there. You can see them. They're wearing the cool lanyards. They would love to answer any questions you have. If you don't know if you want to get baptized, go out there. Talk to them. So that's his answer. His answer is, what's to keep me from being baptized? Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. This is really cool. The Holy Spirit has done his job. He just saved the eunuch. He just reached into all the nations through this one man. And then he just transports Philip away. That's really weird. And the eunuch doesn't seem to care because he's stoked. I'm saved. I don't know who that guy was that was in my car. That's fine. He's gone. I'm with Jesus. This is amazing. We want that for you. We want you to walk in joy with Jesus Christ. And so we have folks that are scheduled to be baptized. We have stories that we're going to hear. This was a short sermon, but that's because there are sermons that will continue throughout the day and throughout this service. People coming up and giving a testament to how Jesus saved them. People getting baptized, that living sermon out in the parking lot. So be praying that God moves, and if God is moving in you, just know that I'm going to pray in a minute. You can actually go in the cover of Everyone's Eyes Closed, and it'll be good. And I'm going to have Pastor Ryan come up. He's going to share some stories. The band's going to come up, and we're going to sing. So let's pray. Father God, thank you again for what we get to do today. We get to baptize people. It is exciting. It is awesome. It's because of you, and I just pray that we would all connect with it, that we would see it for what it is. It would be a celebration for us. For those that are coming into new life, I pray that it is powerful. I'm asking, Lord, for experience. I want us to feel what you're doing. I want us to see it. I don't want us to disregard the evidence. I want us to all answer, we have seen and we believe in the power of God. So, Father, I pray for these people and the service to come, that you'll just continue to do mighty things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.